This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During his debate with Vice President Harris, former President Trump repeated already debunked claims about Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
On support for Ukraine, the vice president said Trump's admiration for Putin is a threat.
If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now.
Post-debate, Trump claimed Harris lost and would not commit to a second debate. Harris picked up the endorsement of pop megastar Taylor Swift. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and British Foreign Minister David Lammy arrived in Kyiv. Ukraine is pressing its Western allies to allow it to use long-range missiles against targets deeper inside Russia. Earlier, Blinken accused Iran of providing missiles with short-range missiles. This is ABC News. No injuries when two Delta jetliners, an Airbus A350 and a smaller CRJ-900 collided at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the smaller plane getting its tail knocked off.
The pilot of the larger plane with more than 200 passengers heading to Japan telling airport control that something just went really wrong.
We just hit something on the taxiway. Could you tell us what it was?
On board the smaller plane were journalists from our ABC local stations in Tampa and Cincinnati. Paul Whedon is a photographer for WCPO.
It felt and sounded like a car crash. There was, you know, kind of that crunch.
They report that no one was hurt and they were removed from the plane and bused back to the airport terminal.
ABC Steve Osunsami. Hey there, all you greasers. Billboard magazine reports the death of Sha Na Na keyboardist Screamin' Scott Simon, sinus cancer. He joined the band right after Woodstock, co-wrote the song Sandy for the movie Grease. Screamin' Scott Simon was 75. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have got some credit card news. My favorite agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they recently looked at credit card offers from lenders that were big and small, and boy, oh, did they find a difference. No matter how good your credit is, small local banks and credit unions offer lower interest rates. I mean like 8 to 10% lower. The CFPB says that if you have credit under 620, large banks these days are probably going to offer you an APR of around 29%. That's brutal. And small banks and credit unions are coming in just over 20%. Got a credit score of 720 or better? Some smaller lenders are doing 15% APRs. Big lenders are in the low 20s. Now, of course, paying your card off every month is the best way to avoid paying interest, but I sure do like knowing that local cards have cheaper rates. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court rules the boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls more than 2 years ago will be tried as an adult. James Kelly reports.
The decision was originally made by a Chippewa County judge, and a three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals ruled to uphold that decision due to the seriousness of the offense. Their ruling states that the defense failed to show that a reversal waiver would not depreciate the seriousness of the offenses. The now 16-year-old suspect is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sexual assault. I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering a request to open guardianship records for some voters. A conservative activist is trying to find ineligible voters and cast doubt on the 2020 election. Justices heard arguments in the case on Tuesday. The court's not expected to issue a ruling before the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your players' strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 86 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 87 by Friday. Partly cloudy, a little cooler with a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, how you vote in November could determine whether China starts paring back its carbon emissions or feels it has a blank check to pollute all it wants.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Eagle, 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
So Jim from Appleton checks in on tonight's question, which is, what is a popular movie that you despise or one of those big movies that you just don't get? Mine was The Fall Guy. I hate it more every time I think about it. But Jim from Appleton says, I can't think of anything I would hate so much I'd never watch it. Well, Jim, I'm saying, like, if you already saw it, then you decide you hate it later. I would never willingly go to a movie I hate, if that's what you meant. Paul from Bayview in the 414 says, Citizen Kane. Saw it at age 20, never watched it again. But did you hate it, Paul? That's the question. Steady Eddie again. Pete, at a work Christmas party about 15 years ago, I bought the highly... Oh, I already read that. Steady Eddie. Tom from New Orleans says, Mel Brooks, Life Stinks. Classic Mel. Roger, what was the film where Burt Reynolds is trying to save his own life and he's swimming and he thinks he's going to drown and he keeps making promises to God about what he'll do if God helps him make it back to the shore? And then he keeps changing it when he realizes he's going to live and the promises get, like, more and more lame.
I don't know. That's not ringing a bell. I know it's not Deliverance, right?
No. That's the only one. Deliverance.
That's the only one I remember him in the water. But
it might be called The End with Dom DeLuise, I think. It's one of the first movies. It was on cable all the time. I think it's called The End. And he's like, God, I promise to give $1,000 from each paycheck if you let me live. Then he gets closer. And I promise to give $20 from each paycheck. Like, he keeps renegotiating the deal. Great stuff. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, Spaceballs and Mel Brooks deserve more credit. There's a scene where Yogurt is talking about merchandising Spaceballs and Lunchbox, the cereal, and more. My home network is called Spaceballs, the router. Okay. Also, his son Max wrote the Zombie Survival Guide, which is written like a Boy Scout manual, and World War Z. It's written as a history book. Do not watch the movie. I saw the movie. That was Brad Pitt in an ascot. That's crazy. Thank you, Jameson. That's named his router after Spaceballs. Okay, that's a fan. My guest is Roger Rittenhouse. His new book, Big Tex, you can check out on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble if you live by a Barnes & Noble. How cool is that to say you have a book at Barnes & Noble? That's kind of a neat thing, Rog.
Everything is online right now. The official book launch is Thursday.
Oh.
There's like the Manhattan Book Group is doing like a virtual book tour, and it starts Thursday. It's in New York City, and it runs for a month. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I'm hoping that I have the discount set at 55%. That's what they need to put it in stores. So I'm hoping that that'll be the case.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
If it is, then I'll have to do the show again from Barnes & Noble.
Oh, how sweet would that be, huh? In between signing autographs? I love it. So let's pivot a little bit here. I love hearing about your, like, I didn't meet you. I had heard of you. You were one of those comics I had heard a lot about and how funny you were. And then we met, we worked on the show Sports Soup together, but we met before that through mutual friends and hung out, went to a couple concerts, whatever. But you've done a lot of cool, like, you were on Arsenio, Kimmel, the Dennis Miller Show. What do you like better? Do you like writing books like this, like Big Tex, or doing stand-up?
Oh, yeah, this is much better. You know, I never really liked performing, and I never really, on TV, it was very awkward because you have, it was very kind of nerve-wracking. It wasn't ever any, it wasn't ever loose and fun.
Yeah, that's
you
interesting.
You know,
yeah,
Kimmel, you were behind two cameras, and the audience couldn't see you. They could only see you on a monitor, and you couldn't see them, so it's like, you're doing comedy
wow.
for these cameras, you know, it's funny. And then Dennis Miller, that show was kind of going under when I did it. And David Spade was on and we were in the green room and he's like, he's in shorts. And I'm like, oh yeah. I mentioned his shorts and he's like, yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd wear the shorts since this show's going under.
How horrible.
So
is it, you know, I was, you remember the improv in Santa Monica?
Yeah.
It closed eventually, but I was one of the last comics to do, and I was so happy to get on Evening at the Improv because I grew up watching it. Well, I get there and I was expecting this amazing time, and Twiggy, is that her name? The Broadway actress is getting makeup done right next to me. She was the host of the show, and I couldn't wait to get out there. And I get out there and there's like 25 people in the audience. And the show was canceled like literally the next week. It's so depressing. Like, so I know exactly, I didn't wear shorts, but I might have worn moccasins. I don't know.
Well, I've always had these, like, it was always horrible spots. Okay. So the Arsenio one, like, that was a pumped up crowd because Billy Idol was on. So the whole three front rows was nothing but these, you know, girls. You know, in tight leather, you know, mini skirts and stuff.
Yeah.
But then that isn't who I did. You know, I didn't get to like go up, like be the comedian before Billy Idol. It was like Billy Idol. And then it was John. Who was the guy that did Boys in the Hood?
John Singleton.
Yeah. So it was him talking about the real horribleness of black neighborhoods and the actual murders. You could hear a pin drop in there. It was like, have you ever been brought up on stage? Like, if okay, we have an announcement. Is there a Sandy in the audience? Your mother just died. If you want to go get a payphone or something and call her, we're so sorry. Okay, let's keep the show going. Here he is. He's a rootin' tootin'.
Oh, that's funny.
So it was coming out after that was just, it was just, you know, I don't think there was really never a good TV spot I did, but
yeah, it's a weird
but
energy.
The tape
to
I
it.
Used to get all my funny bone gigs was very funny.
That reminds me of what you were just saying from the Simpsons episode when Homer had to do stand up in front of Mr. Burns at his roast for his birthday, and Smithers goes up on stage and he goes, I'm sorry to inform you that a small puppy that looked not unlike Lassie was just run over in the parking lot. And now it's time for the comedy stylings of Homer Simpson. So you've written for like a lot of comics, Raj, Dale Hewley, Larry the Cable Guy. You've written for Bill Maher. How do you have to change your jokes or do they just put their own voice to them? Is it hard to write for different genres, so to speak, or styles?
Well, Larry the Cable Guy is the easiest because they're just, first of all, they're one-liners, which is fun. And then, I can actually write in his voice pretty well. And he just almost does them as I write them. And then have the accent on it, it makes it even funnier.
Right.
He's one of these, you know, he's always been one of the guys that could just read it out of the phone book and it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he just has a way. Yeah.
Huh?
He just has a way of talking. So, I agree with you. He's got a funny delivery.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's funny. And the other two, you know, it's mostly either political or topical. So you're just kind of writing monologue jokes in a sense for that. So it's, you know, there's the only comedians you really can't write for are the actual geniuses like Stephen Wright or, you know, I don't, you know, that's, you have to have a no one's in that brain.
Right.
Evo Phillips, you know, those jokes are amazing.
Who do you see now on TV that you would stop to watch, a modern comic who's popular?
Boy, you know, they're usually the ones that I love still are from my generation, like David Tell. David Tell's last special, just I think I watched it like one night, and the next night I just turned it on again and still laughed.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I usually pop one on. I whenever they're out there, I'll kind of give it a chance. Nikki Glaser was very funny.
Yeah.
Then some of them, I don't want to say the bad ones because I usually don't remember their names, but I don't want to, you know. And they weren't necessarily bad. I just didn't. Some of them I didn't really care for, you know.
Right. But. So, all right. So what are you watching, Raj? Anything you can recommend? Binge watching?
Yes, I just watched, oh my God. Well, movie-wise, maybe Pete, I don't know. Netflix, some of the movies are really good. And some of them are bad. But I think one of the best movies I've seen this year, hands down, is Rebel Ridge. Hmm. And it was on this week. And it is a great movie.
Who's in that? I don't even know.
From the moment it starts.
Really?
So,
who's in that?
If you don't like Police, now, well, give it a watch because it'll help you really not like Police.
Oh, really? Okay.
Don Johnson is in it. I don't know who the main actor is, but all the actors are great, and it's who's the actor who he plays a judge in it. He was in Babe, the pig farmer.
Oh, James Cromwell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has a great cast, and it's a really good movie.
He plays a great hateable cop. In L.A. Confidential, he was the chief or the captain, Dudley, and he was, man, you just love to hate that guy.
And all the cops in this, they nail it. It's almost like they're real cops.
Oh, that's great. Conrad and I are going to get parking tickets out here, I think, after this. So Raj, we have about 60 seconds left, and I have to ask you, do drag queens want to be cowboys more, or do cowboys want to be drag queens more?
I think definitely, I don't think either. I don't think cowboys actually want to be drag queens, but I bet you they want to be a little more, I mean, we all saw Brokeback Mountain. I think they want to be a little more open about femininity than they claim to be,
right?
And I think drag queens definitely do not want to be masculine.
That was a very diplomatic
because they already
answer.
Are masculine, and then they like the wigs.
Yeah,
your mileage may vary, Pete. I don't know what you're talking
about. Hey, buddy, thanks for the time. This is great. Best of luck with the book. It's called Big Text. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's very funny and a very fast read. And you'll be following Roger Rittenhouse after that. So have a great night, buddy, and let's talk soon.
Yeah, definitely, Pete. Have a wonderful night. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Roger Rittenhouse. Coming up next from the Overture Center in Madison, Tim Sowers joins us. Looking forward to talking to Tim and hearing what he's watching on colored television as well as the live stage. We'll have all of that discussion coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio. The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It is Kurt Cobain's birthday today. So what better way to... I was not the biggest Nirvana fan. But that song is hard not to like, or tap your foot to, or dance like nobody's watching. Just a great song. I don't even know how old he would have been today. Maybe like 50, 60? And on the text line, we have Jim from Appleton checking in, clarifying his answer. Our question tonight is, what movie was wildly popular that you despise? For me, it's The Fall Guy. Jim from Appleton finally gives us a straight answer. He says, all right, heaven can wait. Football star dies and comes back. Rotten movie. Kind of like Tevin Can Wait. But I like Dumb and Dumber, too. Conrad's mom and I, we'd get into it. We could have a little forum. Jim, Conrad's mom, and me. All right, let's move on here. Joining us now here on the program is one of our favorite guests. He is from the Overture Center. He's the chief artistic... I've lost my intro. Chief... Tim has a lot of words in his intro, I have to say. He is the chief artistic experiences officer. And a very fun guy to talk to and a great guest. And he joins us now on Nightlight. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Despite I messed up your intro, I apologize for that.
That's all right. I mess it up myself.
If I drop one of those words, could it be officer? So you're the chief artistic experiences, but then that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, I am the chief artistic experience.
As we can attest to here on the show. How are you, buddy?
Right. I'm good. I'm good.
Good. You've got some big stuff going on at the Overture Center. Aside from all the shows, you've got a big 20th anniversary. Congratulations. And
I know, 20 years of Overture Center. It's been fun. I've been here 16 of the 20, and it's been really fun watching the organization and the center grow and, you know, getting top-notch talent every year. And, you know, it really brings artists from around the world to Madison, and then all the local artists that we support in the building. And so we're having a big birthday party as a kind of fundraiser celebration at September 28th, and so it'll be kind of fun, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, people can go to that, right? There are tickets available.
People can go to it. They can go to overture.org and get some tickets. We're gonna have pop-up performances. People can be able to go backstage. We're going to do this really cool thing on the stage with this 360-circle kind of selfie station. We're having lots of food. And, you know, it's kind of going to be like an immersive experience, right? Yeah. They're hot right now, these immersive experiences. And so we're like kind of creating this really fun night for everybody.
It does sound fun. And it kind of clears up. It says it's going to be an old-fashioned birthday party. So I didn't know if that meant pin the tail on the donkey, spank the machine.
We're going to have games. We're having a whole bunch of... It's going to be kind of informal, laid back, come and have a good time and celebrate with us.
It sounds really fun. So it's at 7 p.m. on September 28th, overture.org for tickets. How much are the tickets if people want to go and celebrate with you guys?
Only $150. That's a good price for a fundraiser. Not bad, right?
Oh, it's a fundraiser. Okay, yeah.
It's a fundraiser. Okay. Yeah, it's a good price for it, yeah.
Sounds like a fundraiser, if you ask me.
Ah-ha-ha.
See what I did there? That was, I think I might feel
smart. That's why I like coming on your show.
I know you do. All right. Well, good luck with that. But you also have these great shows coming up. And I noticed, I wanted to ask you, just for clarification, you have a season ticket package, but one that doesn't include Broadway shows. How can you tell the difference there? And is that...
So if it's not a Broadway show, you can, if you get a minimum of three shows, you get a discount. And so you can pick anything from like Bluey. Bluey is our first big show coming in September. Crazy. Everybody loves Bluey. It's crazy. Did you ever watch those cartoons?
I never did, but I mean, I know about them, but I've never watched them.
Yeah, really popular. We had the show back in a year ago and sold like 7,200 tickets over four performances. Oh. And we have two performances coming in and we're already at like 3,400 tickets.
Jeez.
So it's and it's a good show. It's,
yeah.
Sometimes these children's shows that these big kind of touring shows aren't so great, but this one's really good.
You have another one coming up. What did I see? Well, Funny Girl, but and Juliet. That sounds interesting. A contemporary telling of the classic Romeo and Juliet. How do they update it?
Well, do you know they imagine what would happen if Juliet didn't die.
Okay.
And all the music, it's contemporary in its feel. All the music is Max Martin, is that right?
Maybe.
Oh, you should know this. You're the expert. Max Martin, who is, he's written songs for the Backstreet Boys and Taylor Swift and, I don't know, everybody.
So Taylor Swift does not write her own songs? Am I hearing that correctly?
Well, he wrote one for her. Yeah, Max Martin. Cool. That's right. Yeah. He's, pretty prolific with people know his music. You know it all when you hear it at the show. So it's kind of fun. It's about women empowerment and, you know, kind of Juliet finding herself without, you know, being connected to Romeo.
Yeah.
Romeo's upset. And it's fun. Totally fun. The single tickets have just went on sale for that and it's selling really well. And that opens up. We have a late start in November as a Broadway season because it was, it's election time and people are scared about going to a show during that time. But we have a lot coming up. So Mike Birbiglia, he's one of my favorite comedians. You were just talking about comedians.
Yeah.
Love him. I think he's like the best. Great storyteller.
Oh, you just cut out briefly there, Tim.
I know, my phone just rang. I didn't turn it off.
Oh.
He's the best storyteller, I think, Mike Birbiglia.
Oh, I think you talked about him last time. All right. So
I think
that's
I
coming
did,
up.
Too. Okay. He's one of my favorites. I just love him to death.
What's this? What's King James, for any sports fans out there? Forward theater. I get it. But what is that fast-paced comedy? Set against the backdrop of LeBron James' electrifying basketball career, this fast-paced comedy chronicles the turbulent bond between two diehard fans whose intertwined fortunes are tied to those of their idol.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know a lot about it to talk about it because it's a Forward Theater show.
Okay.
And so I haven't seen it. But
gotcha.
They always pick cool, interesting shows for Madison.
Okay.
And it just is opening now.
Nice. Is that Rhapsody in Blue at the end of September? Is that the Gershwin music?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. From the commercials, United Airlines?
Oh, United Airlines. They made that. They still use it. They've used that tune now for I don't know how many years.
You know what? I just want to put that really cool part of it that they use in the commercial on a loop. Because you have to, like, if you listen to the whole piece, it's like 14 minutes till you get to like the money part, in my opinion. I don't mean to sound harsh, but
I know, but when you're walking, if you're ever O'Hare and you're walking under the tunnel and they play that consistently under there and the lights are moving above your head.
Exactly. All right. Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center in Madison. Big 20th anniversary show coming up. You can get tickets for that. It's September 28th at 7 p.m. at overture.org. We'll be back to find out what Tim is watching on TV and ask him a few more questions about what's coming up at the Overture. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Stay tuned for award-winning news. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During his debate with Vice President Harris, former President Trump repeated already debunked claims about Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
On support for Ukraine, the vice president said Trump's admiration for Putin is a threat.
If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now.
Post-debate, Trump claimed Harris lost and would not commit to a second debate. Harris picked up the endorsement of pop megastar Taylor Swift. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and British Foreign Minister David Lammy arrived in Kyiv. Ukraine is pressing its Western allies to allow it to use long-range missiles against targets deeper inside Russia. Earlier, Blinken accused Iran of providing missiles with short-range missiles. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A recent study says 22% of teenagers have seriously considered committing suicide. Lisa Hale reports.
Bellin Health pediatrician Dr. Sherry Hoyman says checking in with your children, talking with them, is the most important thing you can do.
Don't let them be in their room all day long and not check in on them, right? Eat dinner together. Talk about the day. If your child needs help, get them some counseling.
September is Suicide Prevention Month. I'm Lisa Hale.
A small business in Wisconsin is recognized as one of the best in the nation. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce calls Sky High Marketing in Waukesha one of the 100 best and brightest small businesses in America. Among other things, Sky High is recognized for innovative growth, commitment to community, and customer service. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Actress Drea DiMatteo says that when she auditioned for The Sopranos, she thought it was a show about opera. DiMatteo played the character Adriana on the show that ran for 6 seasons, and she's not the only cast member who at first thought the show was music-related. Jamie Lynn Sigler, who played Meadow Soprano, also thought she was auditioning for a show about singers, primarily because she had little TV experience and her background was in musical theater. Sigler told Justin Long on his Life is Short podcast that while at the audition, she did not see an accompanist, so she offered to sing a cappella for creator David Chase, the series producer, who seemed confused. Interestingly enough, neither Sigler or DiMatteo figured out the show was not about music until season 3. I made that last part up. These and other fun stories about The Sopranos can be viewed in the new documentary Wise Guy, David Chase and The Sopranos, airing on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 86 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 87 by Friday. Partly cloudy, a little cooler with a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, the aftermath of the most important debate of your lifetime. Special guest host Matt Rothschild will help us break it down and figure out what it all means.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Starting our fourth quarter here at Nightlife Tonight on this Tuesday night edition. Tomorrow, Cat and the Hurricane will be here. That'll be a fun show. They're a great band, and they're touring Wisconsin right now. So we'll talk to Cat and the Hurricane. Right now, Tim Sowers is with us. He is from the Overture Center in Madison. He is the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer. How'd I do, Tim?
Perfect. Perfect.
So, all right. So we're talking about some of the shows coming up. I've never seen Wicked. I love the music.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
You need to go come see Wicked.
I know.
I'll buy you a ticket.
Wow. Well, that's a...
I'll buy you a pair of tickets. So let me know if you want to come down and see Wicked.
Wow. That's very nice of you. Conrad, what are we doing? You want to go see Wicked with me?
Yeah, we're going to see Wicked.
If my wife can't go, you're in. So, Tim, honestly, like, where do you rank that? And that's a very nice offer. Thank you. I might take you up on that. But where do you rank that? That's like one of the top 10, maybe, all time?
Of all time. If not in the top, maybe the top 3 of all time. Top 5.
Kidding. Wow.
Sits up there with, like, Hamilton, The Lion King.
Love The Lion King.
Les Mis.
Love Les Mis.
Phantom of the Opera. Like, they're the shows that keep.
Right.
Have people coming back. And, you know, they've been around for a long time now. And so there's new generations of fans. And we'll see what happens. You know, the movie's coming out during the holidays, I think, this year. The first one, they're going to make a movie, but they're going to do 2 parts to
it. Right.
I don't know how I feel about that, but
That's
you know, it's a show people love. Right. It was the show that closed us down during COVID.
Oh,
we were to have it for 3 weeks, and we had 3 performances, and then had to shut it down. And then the set sat there for 6 months on our stage.
Oh, that is sad.
Which was kind of cool. Like, it was kind of eerie and cool to have that sitting there. It was sad.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so we're happy to have it back, and people just love it.
Ariana Grande will be in the movie.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll put that on my list. That's July 2025. We've got some time on that one. But
yeah, we got a long time for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming up sooner, you have Funny Girl, classic. Tickets go on sale. I didn't know this, Tim. I looked at the ticket prices. I'm really impressed. You guys have, your tickets are as low as like $31.
We like to do a range. We like to make sure there's accessibility, that people can afford to come to a show, because
I just love that.
You know, Broadway shows are expensive to bring in, and you know, there are high price tickets, of course, but we do that with all of our shows. We want to make sure that there's accessibility for people
come
to Overture.
I did not but that is crazy affordable. I mean, even for people without a lot of money, you can get $31 together. And I don't want to speak for people, but that's a really cool offer, I think. And it's just fun to be there.
Yeah.
What are your personal favorites coming up? You got Michael Jackson, Neil Diamond, Clue.
I know. Yeah. The whole Broadway. Shucked is the show I'm really looking forward to.
I was going
to
ask you about that next.
Did we talk about that? No, I don't think so. So anyhow, when remember Hee Haw?
Oh, sure.
Sure. So originally this was going to started out as the Hee Haw musical.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, right? And then it turned into Shucked. It's Brandi Carlile. And I can't remember the other guy who wrote the music to it. And it's full of these old jokes that are so funny. So the story is about this town who raises corn for alcohol, and that's their income. And the corn crop is starting to dry up. And so the ingenue decides she's going to leave the town and go seek help.
Okay.
And no one had ever left the town before. So there's like a romance in it, but it's all full of these like one-liner jokes. And there are these two narrators telling the story, and it's a hard one to kind of explain.
Yeah.
But that it has that old feel of like a Hee Haw.
Or laughing almost, maybe. Yeah, Hee Haw.
you know, with those kind of jokes. I don't know. It's so funny. And they know the jokes that are going to go over the audience's heads.
Yeah.
And so they all stop the entire action until the audience gets it. And their timing is flawless. They know exactly how long it takes. And then they wink to you in the audience. And when the music is beautiful, it has the country feel to it, the music. I've seen it several times now, and I can't wait to see it again. It just makes you feel good. It's so fun. It's just so fun.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's February 4th through the 9th. Tickets go on sale September 27th. It says Schacht is a Tony Award-winning musical.
Yeah.
That the Wall Street Journal calls flat out hilarious. And I love you guys in the description, it says a hilarious, irresistible musical comedy filled with a cornucopia of laughs.
Listen, I'll tell you one of the characters. One of the characters, and I it's funny because after I saw the show, I went back and watched Hee Haw, some of the clips, and they took some of these characters in this show. And there's this one character, his name is Peanut. And Peanut just talks on and on when somebody asks him a question. And so, like, one of the jokes is, so, Peanut, I hear you got your Christmas tree. Yep, I got my Christmas tree. Lulu asked me if I was going to put it up myself. And I said, no, I think I'm going to put it up in the living room. Ba-dum-bum. That's the kind of cornball jokes, right?
You get a sense of that with the description. Like, I think people will probably show up knowing what to expect and will probably love it.
Yeah, the people who know Broadway and stuff are kind of familiar with it, but I think it'll be a harder sell. I hope they, you know, put some great video together because this is the first year it's going out on the road.
Oh, that's great.
So it's fun. It's fun.
If you had to choose between musical icons, Michael Jackson and Neil Diamond, which show would you send people to?
Boy, that's a toughie. I mean, they're both were really brilliant musicians, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like, MJ really focuses on a period of time where Michael Jackson is prepping for his Dangerous tour. There's kind of an interview thing happening with Rolling Stone. So they're really looking at himself as a creator, and they go back and do some of the early days of him as a kid, but it really focuses on like putting the music and the dance together. And there's a I think one of my favorite all-time numbers from a musical puts together three of his influences and does this great number. And his influences were the Walker Brothers, who are these two vaudeville guys, Bob Fosse, and Fred Astaire. Hmm. And when they're doing this number and they have these images of the other artists, you could see all the influences.
Oh, that's cool.
And then with Neil Diamond, I mean, you know, he wrote so many songs.
Right.
Right, and everybody knows his music. So they're kind of like, I don't know, kind of, are they two different kind of generations? They are. But I think anybody who likes music and the whole creation of that will like both those shows.
Yeah, Neil Diamond has so many songs you forget about. Like, I heard Solitary Man like 3 weeks ago. And I was like,
love that song.
Yeah, it's great.
And I love that song.
And the song from... Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. I think it was from Pulp Fiction or something. I mean, it's a song mm-hmm. first, but just he has songs you forget about that are so great.
Yeah, when I watched his musical, he reminded me of one of my other favorite biopic musicals is Beautiful, the Carole King story.
Oh,
and
I
it's
never
like
saw that.
That when you know she wrote so many songs that were not hers when she was, you know, that whole idea of the Brill Building in New York City, where all these artists would just take these offices and write music.
That is so amazing.
Neil Diamond was in that building too at that time when he was writing music before he was kind of discovered to become a performer. I just love that.
That almost sounds like something out of a movie, and it existed. Yeah. And I think that is so amazing. And there's a little place like that here in Door County. Pat McDonald does that, the Music Hotel. And he rents these rooms out, and these songwriters come in, and that's all they do. It's so old school, and so I just find it fascinating.
I think it's great because I think, you know, when people are writing music, they can influence each other, and it's, I don't know, it's great to talk to other musicians as you're developing music and songs, and as opposed to just sitting alone somewhere. I think it's really cool. I think that's all cool.
That is the voice of Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison. Tim, before we let you get out of here, do you have a TV recommendation? Something you can?
I do. Please. I always think about this for you.
I appreciate that.
Bad Monkey.
I was going to ask you if you were watching that. That's like Conrad's favorite.
I love it. I love it.
All right, I'm going back to it. I watched two episodes, and I didn't dislike it. I was falling asleep during the second one. I'm going to give it a rewatch, and I'm going to stick with it.
I loved it. Okay. You know, I don't know Vince Vaughn all that much. I never really followed Vince Vaughn.
Right.
But he is so funny in it, and you don't really ever see detective shows that have that comic edge to it.
Right.
I love it.
He's great, and I like the guy who plays his friend, who I think lives he's a cop. He plays a cop in a lot of stuff. He's really good, too. Yeah. So I will go back and revisit that. Based on your, because I trust your opinion so much, Tim.
Thank you.
What about summer movies? How'd you do in the summer blockbuster category? Did you see any films?
Not much of anything.
No?
Really? Wasn't that interesting. Was it interesting?
There was a few. But I would say...
I think we talked about Fall Guy last time I was here, but was on, and that was such a disappointment.
Yeah.
I could have fixed it. I could have. You're sitting there watching it, and you're like...
Yeah. Oh. Don't do that. Take that scene out. Don't do that. Exactly.
Right. Well, and then they didn't have any chemistry.
Right. It was, yeah. It was
Emily Blunt was too reserved in the role, very British, and I love her.
Same.
It needed Emma Stone with him.
To be fun
and playful, and it just wasn't fun and playful.
And you need to take that Bon Jovi song. If I never hear that song again, it will be too soon. It wasn't even a great song when it was out the first time, and now it's overused to death, and it makes me hate that movie even more. I'm being a little dramatic, but you know what I'm saying.
I like The Instigators on Apple.
Oh, I heard that was good.
That is good. Like, you know, you haven't seen Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck in a long time.
Yeah.
And he and Matt Damon are fun together.
Okay.
And as I was watching it, I was like, boy, Casey, you're looking more and more like Ben every day. But I thought that was a good little film.
Yeah, that's on my list, too. That's awesome. Tim, thanks so much, as always, for
your time. A pleasure.
So much fun to talk to you, buddy. We'll do it again soon, I hope. And good luck. Have a great time at the anniversary. That sounds like a blast.
Great. Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're welcome. All right. That's Tim Sowers. Check out Overture.org if you're interested in going to their 20th anniversary celebration. It sounds like a blast. It's a fundraiser. And check out their website for all these amazing shows they have coming up. Conrad, we got a text from Bridget from the 818. Always like to hear from Bridget. Oppenheimer. I know it was an important movie and won Oscars, but I couldn't watch longer than 30 minutes. Okay.
I'll agree with that.
Really? I totally respect that. I love when people say, did you really?
In a movie theater.
You know what sounds to me like you're not getting enough sleep, Conrad?
Actually,
you fell asleep during Fall Guy?
Actually, my buddies and I got there, I think, like an hour before it.
Okay.
We maybe have pre-gamed it a little too harsh.
An hour before the movie?
Yeah.
I saw that film and... I could not have fallen asleep because it was the loudest picture I've ever seen.
That's true.
I could not believe. And it won Best Sound. And I'm like, that just apparently means loudest. But I liked it. But I respect that, Bridget. Thank you for weighing in. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear a great clip from True Romance. Such a great movie. And we have an excellent clip to close the show with. And maybe we'll do some Brian Regan. We tried to get that last night going, but we couldn't do it. So that's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Seen her dressed in blue. Seen the sky in front of you.
And say, we cut, it was Adam Sandler's birthday yesterday, right?
That is correct.
All right, let's do Adam Sandler then. Let's celebrate the man, the comedic icon that is Adam Sandler. He's had an incredible box office run.
Yeah.
There's
something I want to recommend, actually. That's his new stand-up special.
Oh, yeah.
It's called I Love You, and it's hilarious. I'm not usually, his stand-up wasn't that great in the past. Like, you know, it's more of music and everything. But this one's a mix of everything. It's so funny.
Okay, cool.
And it's on Netflix.
Did you weigh in on the movies that you...
Yeah, it was Fantastic Beasts.
Wait, what?
Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, yeah.
The Harry Potter spinoff, yeah.
This is embarrassing, but I hear Harry Potter and I just kind of gloss over because I haven't seen him.
And you gotta watch.
I know I have to. I gotta sit down and force myself to watch them. And I'll probably like them, but I don't know what the deal is.
It's on every single Christmas, and you can get you don't have to stream it. You can just watch it on regular TV if you want.
Who's got regular TV anymore?
Well, YouTube TV. It's not really regular, but
right.
You still get ads.
So what do you want to lead off with here, Sandler-wise? Sandlerly speaking.
This is one of my favorite... So in all of pretty much Sandler's movies, O'Doyles are in it.
Oh, right. Right. This is funny.
Okay. It's, you may know it from Billy Madison. That's when it starts as O'Doyle Rules. But this is in Click, his neighbor, O'Doyle. He's like a, probably like 11-year-old kid. And Adam Sandler's character in it has beef with him.
All right. Let's hear it.
Yeah, good robo dog. And he can bark in over 6 different languages. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's much cooler than your stupid human dog.
Hey, Dad, see Kevin's new robot dog?
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice? This thing is worth more than your car.
Not anymore, it ain't.
Robo dog! Dude! You suck so bad.
Do not. Hey, Dad.
How you doing, buddy? Playing some catch?
Actually, we're playing some drop, because Ben hasn't caught one yet.
Darn it.
Pretty sweet, eh? 2 queen beds, full kitchen, steam shower, and satellite TV with surround sound.
Why are you always trying to hurt me? One day I'm gonna hurt you back.
Michael Newman, I didn't know you smoked cigars.
And now's the time. No, Kathy, this isn't mine. I took it out of Kevin's hands. Yeah, he was smoking like a chimney.
No, I wasn't!
I think I smell marijuana in it.
Kevin O'Doyle, you get your ass in this house right now!
I hate you!
Are you deaf? Move it! I don't want to have dad move again!
Dope is for dopes, buddy.
Get your ass!
Ah! What movie is that from?
Billy Madison? That's from Click.
Or Click. I'm sorry. That's right.
Yes.
Who is his co-star on that?
Oh, who was it? It's his wife. I got to...
Oh, is it Jed Apatow's wife? What's her name? She's in a lot of those. I can't think of her name, though. Leslie?
No, it's Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, Kate Beckinsale's in
that? Yeah, and Christopher Walken's in it, too.
Love Christopher Walken.
And then Jonah Hill's in it, too.
He's great. I love Jonah Hill. You've seen Superbad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... The first hour of Superbad is one of my favorite movies. And then it just kind of gets crazy. It's like Office Space a little bit. But Michael Cera and Jonah Hill are so funny together. That's a great first hour. All right, we have time for one. Can we squeeze another Sandler clip in?
Yeah, this one is from Mr. Deeds.
Oh, okay.
No
setup it's required?
Just, it's just a funny clip.
Perfect.
What are you doing down there?
I am assisting you with your sock change.
You going to change my socks for me? You don't got to do that. Come on, stand up.
Thank you, sir.
Besides, you don't want to have to touch my right foot. I got wicked bad frostbite when I was in the scouts.
Check it out.
Pretty messed up, huh?
The hideousness of that foot will haunt my dreams forever.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. But the weird thing is, I got no feeling left in it, so you could, like, jump on it and it wouldn't hurt me. Go ahead, jump on it.
I would really rather not, sir.
Oh, please, please jump on my foot.
No!
Yeah, I didn't feel that. What else you got? Hey, get that fireplace poker right there and just whack my foot.
Do I absolutely have to?
It's gonna be fun. Just grab it. All my friends do this when they're wasted.
Come on.
Go ahead, give it a whack. Nothing.
Really?
Isn't that sick? Didn't feel that. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead. Nothing. Yeah. I know you're starting to like it, aren't you? Chop that wood. Yeah, that's it.
Ow! You're sick! You're sick! Why would you do that to me?
I'm just kidding you, pal.
You had me going there.
I saw your face. You were like... Anyways, I got to talk to Cedar and Anderson, find out what I'm supposed to be doing today. So could you take that out of my foot? I'm kind of nailed to the ground here. There you go.
Where do you rank that on your Adam Sandler list?
Mr. Deeds? Yeah. Oh, it would have to be, I think it would be 3.
Who was the guy in the scene with him?
50 First Dates is probably my favorite.
Okay. Oh, I saw that one. Who was the guy, do you know, in the scene? The actor?
Oh, yes. I'm
trying to look him up right now.
Who was? I can't think of his name, but he's in a lot of stuff.
Alan Covert, maybe? Marty? What's the character's name?
Let me look. All right. It's Emilio Lopez.
Oh. Okay. I don't know. Hey, I think we have to close the show with, you know what I want, don't you?
He's
a skater. He makes a plan and he follows through.
I will.
Do you have it handy?
I do.
All right. Tomorrow night we have Cat and the Hurricane on the show. Conrad, I just sent you a fun message. We'll have a contest tomorrow. So read the message. If you have any questions, give me.
Okay.
Give me a question. All right. So thank you for joining us at Nightlight tonight. Tim Sowers, I'd like to thank Tim. Roger Rittenhouse, check out his book, Big Text. Big Text. I keep wanting to say text. And we will be back again tomorrow night with more Nightlight on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
Brian Skate. When Brian was Arnold was in the Olympics skating for the gold. He did 2 stout cows on a triple once, wearing a blindfold. When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.